What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through!
Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com with us for the next hour talking all things Tennessee Titans. We encourage your participation as always. Paul Kuharski brought to you by Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa and Parman Energy. Visit ParmanEnergy.com, your one-stop petroleum solution. We will have a $50 Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa gift card to give away to the best question for PK on our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737, so keep those 737-1025, so keep those coming all hour long. PK, good morning.
Good morning. Good to be here. I'm on bye week schedule, thus the extra half an hour sleep.
Good for you.
And then I was put on back roads. I had no idea where I was. Probably the route that Rex Road takes. Good rant, Joe. WNBA being absolute babies and ridiculous. I like how you save actual ranting for when I'm not here. Good to see everyone.
Good to see you. 2 days in a row with Kuharski on the program. And I'm sure our listeners will be shocked to know that we've been talking a lot about Jeffrey Simmons throughout the program today, and you have fundamental disagreements with Joe Rexroad.
Well, you said that that there's some social media creation of the issue with Jeffrey Simmons, and I disagree, and I think on this one the fan base is surprisingly correct. I disagree with, like, it's not
those idiots are right for once.
Yeah.
Per Kuharski,
it's not sacks, but I think they're finally seeing that there's just this leadership thing is largely hollow. Leaders take people with them, and they're accountable. And the closest Jeff Simmons has come to being accountable, I give him credit. He said last week, I'm making the plays I'm supposed to make, which is an interesting way of saying I'm not or you can interpret it as saying I'm not doing anything extra. And that, to me, is a real breakthrough for Jeff to not say I'm playing great, which is usually what Jeff Simmons says. It's almost a defense mechanism. And a lot of great players or once great players have to consistently say they're great even when they're not, which is something Jeff suffers from. But on a leadership spectrum, he is not close to Jarrell Casey or Logan Ryan or Kevin Byard in terms of their ability to bring people with them and their ability to hold themselves to account in a public fashion.
Okay,
I think those are big, big leadership qualities. I think he's been thrust forward because they don't have anybody else, and because they paid
him. He's supposed
to
be their best player.
So when your best player is not playing anywhere near that level, somebody's got to say something about it.
That's
and the
funny.
Coaching staff won't, and he won't, so I will.
Yeah, I don't disagree on half of that, which is the public accountability. I mean, that's one of those things to me. It's like, I don't care what you're doing, just – yeah, I can always get better. You know, I can do better. If you just default to that, then just
you'll be fine.
He doesn't say that.
I understand that, but I just and if you know things, if you are sure that in that room, in that building, he is not a leader, then that's fine. But that's what you're trying to tread on that territory.
I'm treading on this territory. I disagree with the Mike Vrabel thing that you don't have to produce to lead. I think you have to produce to lead, and he's not producing. So to say, to have Tavondre Sweat following Jeff Simmons like a puppy and saying, this is the best defensive tackle in the league, I can't do better than to learn from him, when he ranks 110th in pass rushing at PFF, is sending the wrong message. You're saying follow that guy and do what he does, and he's not doing anything.
Was Kevin Byard a leader his entire time here?
Well, yes, but okay. Kevin Byard.
Well, he had ups and downs.
Yeah. Kevin Byard had a longer stretch of earning his stripes. Kevin Byard was a couple-time All-Pro. Jeff Simmons doesn't have that resume.
That's fair.
Yeah. I mean, but Kevin Byard had ups and downs. He had a bad year.
Yeah, well, right? He got old.
And again, he publicly. Got old.
Jeff Simmons isn't old.
Yeah. Well, I do think that, yeah, he's not old, but I do think that, I think some of what we're seeing, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know that we're going to see Jeff Simmons of 2021 ever again.
Well, I agree. That's why I'm saying the team's in a tough spot. They're plastering this guy everywhere and telling us, look at Jeff, look at Jeff. And the dumb segment of the fan base fascinated with this clever, clever nickname they came up with for a big guy, Big Jeff. Yeah. Oh, look at Big Jeff. And I think the fan base is finally onto it. Oh, his poster's everywhere and he's on the ticket thing. I'm going to buy a ticket to go see this guy who hasn't stayed healthy in 3 years and doesn't change games? Blake Benningfield wrote yesterday at paulkuharski.com that between Lynch and Abdullah and everything, you didn't notice that Simmons was missing. That's bad when you're a $93 million guy.
Well, I did wonder this, and I know he didn't have a sack the other night, but I think we would all agree Tavondre Sweat, pretty impactful in that game the other
by
night.
Himself,
by
without leaning on Jeff
Simmons. Well, my question, as I was kind of thinking about it, like, when's the last time that you noticed Jeffrey Simmons in that way, in a game like that?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, they're bits and pieces.
Are we looking for it for Tavondre Sweat? Maybe more so than we are from Jeff because he's the new guy and we spent all offseason talking about him and his weight and all that other stuff? Maybe.
Well, it's but unavoidable.
Different players,
when he
too.
Jumps off the, when yeah. he jumps off the screen at you like that, you don't have to be looking for it, right? It's looking for you.
Right. I mean, when he makes a play down the line, and Jeff has certainly made a ton of those plays, it's just it is a little different because he's like 40 pounds heavier. Right. You know what I mean? So. Yeah. But no, that's a good point.
But look, and you have to say, second contracts here. First off, the Titans don't sign anybody's second contracts because they don't draft anybody that's worth it. But Taylor Lewan, who I love, you know, got a second contract and was hurt and really didn't perform to the second contract because he wasn't out there. Jeff Simmons, I think the most intelligent football watchers are not seeing him play to pre-contract levels. Amani Hooker got a second contract that's not at the same level. Amani Hooker's a good player. I think that's it for second. Am I missing somebody? Harold Landry. Harold Landry's a good second contract. Yes. I mean, that's that list right there and the lack of people on it is a big reason why the Titans aren't a good football team.
A.J. Brown. Oh, wait, sorry. Yeah. That's a good one.
He
that's
did a get
good,
a second
that's
contract.
That's a good second contract.
Yeah. That's a great second contract, even barring the hamstring issue right now.
So, I mean – first off, the injury, it is, you pointed this out yesterday, the fact that, you know, he's got Tommy John injury and he's going to be back in a couple weeks is pretty wild considering what that means
in
baseball
sport, yeah.
in other sports. But, like, you know, I think the Sweat thing is important because the vision is Sweat playing the way he did the other night and Simmons playing at that top level, because if you get that, like, that's a pretty darn good combo. I just wonder,
one
like,
of them
when
is getting
Simmons
singled,
right?
Likely.
Exactly. So, like, but we haven't seen that. We haven't seen that together at the same time. And the question is, are we going to?
And like, Jeff's elbow, like, I mean, it's great that he can play with that.
Yeah.
But it's got to be a limiting factor to some degree. I mean, that's
sounds
a
awful.
Very serious injury. He's going to be wearing a big brace. And, you know, arms are a big deal for a defensive tackle.
Yeah, again, my...
I hope he can play through it and play well. And yeah. I'd like to see a resurgence from him. I'd like to see him respond to all of this. But I think his response is generally to be sour and think that everybody's out to get him. I don't know if you guys saw it. I did a thing about heights and weights. 32% of the Titans roster says that either their height or weight is wrong on the Titans roster. Yeah. It's a kind of funny piece as to why they can't give us realistic heights and weights, and everybody says it doesn't make any sense. And I got to Jeff to ask him about his, and he wouldn't participate because he thought I was up to something nefarious.
How could he possibly think that about you?
I mean, what am I going to do? I'm not even asking. The initial question isn't how much do you weigh and how tall are you? It is this accurate? Are these two numbers on this piece of paper they give us every day accurate? Oh, I'm not doing that. You're up to something.
Oh boy!
Did he say you're up to something?
Pretty much.
See, this would have been another.
I kind of love that.
I know. This would have been another great Stilly and Pauly segment. You know, you got Stilly. All right, Aaron Brewer, 195 pounds, you know, at the carnival. You know? Oh, man. Wow. So you and Jeff, you all right? Everything
and,
okay?
And we're talking about accountability. I mean, there's another guy that holds himself to absolutely no account.
I'm not doing
I texted with him yesterday when he was being absolutely unaccountable, saying that he's right on absolutely everything.
There we go.
Oh, my God.
Remember when Devondre Sweat missed that practice?
I do. That's what I told him.
I do.
Oh, boy. It's too easy.
He looked pretty good.
The guy has no self assessment meter in his body. When God put him together, he just left that thing out.
So on the now that we're on the defensive front, before we get into the quarterback discussion, we're four games into this. You're talking about a Bears game where the Titans did a great job on defense. They didn't leave. You know, the Bears had less than 150 yards. A game the other night against what might as well have been a JV team with Tyler Huntley at quarterback. So you factor that in the way you factor it in. Yeah, they got shredded by Malik Willis, didn't come up with a couple of big stops that they needed against the New York Jets. We've talked about the defense. We are four games in now. The numbers would tell you they're great. How good do you think this defense actually is through four games, given the fact that they did play Tyler Huntley the other night and they've had some really good numbers from a statistical standpoint?
I mean, it's pretty good, but it's not as good as the people claiming that it's like great want to think. Finally got a turnover when the quarterback threw the ball into the ground towards the Titans defender backward.
They did.
That's not a takeaway. That's a giveaway.
Yeah.
You know.
But you'll take it at this point.
Yes, you'll take it, and maybe it starts something. But this defense through four games has proven incapable of taking the ball away. You know, I think they did a very good job defending the run in this game, and I thought Miami would be able to run, and I thought A-Chain is the kind of guy that would hurt them on the edges the way they've been hurt on the edges. So they solved that problem for a game, and you hope that's something that they can spin forward. Personnel-wise, I think that they're pretty good outside of that opposite rush spot from Landry. You know, Jamal Adams is a funny case here. He played one snap again, so he's kind of a extra appendage over there for a rainy day or something. I don't know.
Superfluous nipple? What are you talking about?
a superfluous, you said?
Superfluous?
Superfluous.
Superfluous?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Sciatica?
You know, I think personnel-wise they're good. I think they'll get better as it goes. I think they need more takeaways and better situational play against teams that are actually functional, unlike Miami.
There is one narrative that I've seen that I would like to kind of dispel a little bit. Look, I think L'Jarius Sneed's fine. I think he's a good player. But, like, there's this idea that he shut down Tyreek Hill the other night. It's like, well, Tyreek Hill smoked him twice.
Yeah.
One of them was underthrown by 7 yards, and the other was overthrown by 7 yards.
Yeah, Huntley, so is that really
shutting him down?
Yeah, that was, hey, you'll take it.
You know, if
the quarterback can't make throw, then
no doubt.
They didn't complete the pass on you. But, yeah, that might be a little overstated. You know, speaking of you correcting me real quick, I do want to throw this in as a possibility for the question of the day. PK, would you rather the Titans hire Jared as the GM or never be able to tell anyone you went to Columbia again?
Oh, boy.
Stew on that one, buddy.
Yeah, think about that
one. Well, I mean, the one thing is impossible. I mean, the Titans hire some bad
people.
They're both impossible.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll get into the Will
Levis
discussion.
I lost my Columbia sweatshirt in Miami.
With Paul.
Somebody stole it.
That's sad.
More with Paul Karski coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Paul Kuharski with us, taking your thoughts on all things Tennessee Titans. Your questions on our text line as well. On the quarterback front, PK, we talked with you yesterday about the right move for Callahan moving forward. And look, he's made it crystal clear. By the way, good question by you yesterday.
I thought it was significant. We've all presumed that and said it, but I don't know that he'd articulated it.
Right.
And I was like, let's get him on the record saying what we've all been saying. And he said exactly what we've all been saying. So I thought that was significant. And I think we'll circle back to that a lot throughout the course of the season. I heard you guys talking about your doubt level. And I'm right there with you. My thing is, and I wrote this a couple weeks ago, like you look heading into week four, you know, six of the top 16 quarterbacks in passer rating were failed guys with at least their second team in at least their fourth year, or what's Fields' third year, maybe.
No, he's fourth.
Yep. Fourth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who had bounced around. I don't think he's going to be Sam Darnold somewhere, but could he beat Geno Smith, you know, in terms of production level and all of that?
Man, Geno looked good the other night.
He did.
You know, maybe. But the odds, you know, so the thing is you can't – odds are it's not going to be here, right?
Yeah.
So you kind of do the pre-development thing with your guy, and then you watch him go somewhere else while you shop for your guy. So – you give Levis
while you sign Darnold
2.5 years here while you sign Darnold, who's been through the Jets and the Panthers and the Vikings. It's so weird. This second level quarterback play in the league right now is so weird.
But don't you think it speaks to how quickly people give, how quickly the opportunities are given, how quickly they're forced into opportunities, and then how quickly they give up on them?
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Well. And then these guys that we're talking about have all found really nice situations.
That's
so
true.
Which is
does
critical.
This end
yeah.
up being
critical.
A really nice situation for an older quarterback? Does Callahan settle in? Do these pieces around whatever quarterback is here settle in? Do they draft some more good pieces around them? Or do they continue to have these troubles in, or some of these guys overpaid underproducers?
Yeah, like I think situation is a big part of it, right? Like look at
– huge.
There's obviously
Darnold's
some improvement.
A tremendous yeah. situation.
Like Darnold's obviously gotten better, right?
Has
like,
been in some terrible situations.
He went to San Francisco. And, you know, we had Charles on last week. He talked about how important that was for him. And he's throwing the ball to Justin Jefferson right now. He looks great.
And he's got a great coach who's proving – that he's one of these young up-and-coming guys.
Baker?
So is Callahan wind up being that?
He's throwing to Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Like, he's in a great spot. Like,
now, Mayfield doesn't have the tremendous coaching or the pedigree coaching. I don't even know.
Defensive coach.
Who's a coordinator?
But he had Canales last year.
Canales did a great job.
So, yeah, you can get an OC. You don't have to be the OC coach, you know. You can still win that way. But another point on this, like Robbie, so had Jordan Love been forced into the early, he'd probably be somewhere else.
He probably would be somewhere else.
And then if he got into a good situation somewhere else, you'd be like, holy crap, we could have had a great one.
Well, they would have, but the way the Packers operate, if he was somewhere else, they would have, they operate the way they operate. The second scenario for them would have been they bring him in, they develop him, they trade him, and get more, and get more for him. Not more, but turn them around for value.
Correct.
As opposed to turning them around for less, which is the case for most of them.
Well, and then the question becomes, how long should you give these guys? Like, and it's case by case. Every situation is different. But, I mean, you brought up, there's a lot of examples right now of those quarterbacks playing really well. Is it just because their team gave up on them too quickly? Has it taken the different stops for those guys to mold them into the players that they are?
Yeah.
Like, how long do you wait on some of these guys?
I think it should be 3 years closer to four, and now it's 2 years closer to one.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And look, some guys are bad, and they can't play. And that may just be as simple as it is with Levis. But I'd like your take on this, PK, because I really do. The more I've thought about it with him, it's like, I mean, the fair criticism of him coming out was wound too tight, wants it too much, right? All that stuff. And I'm watching him play, and it's like, this got to be part of this, right? That he just has the weight of the world. So for him, a good situation, of course, it's essential. You have to have support and all that stuff, but also just like having the pressure off you down the road. It's like, well, you've been discarded. You're a backup. Just go play. Probably would be a huge situational thing for him. The question is, can he change how that all affects him?
Rewire the brain.
Yeah, I guess.
I know you hate the DNA stuff. I know you hate the DNA stuff. But you know who this hasn't happened for? Any Titans quarterback. Locker retired. VY went and he was a backup. Mariota never got a starting job, never was interested in a starting job, perfectly content to back up, gets hurt as a backup and spends time on IR. None of those guys are in these guys that got into a second or third situation
matter.
And became a starter.
That doesn't mean
I'm
anything.
Just saying, of all these guys who've resurfaced great. And done well,
right.
I would count it as a, you know, I understand that Levis is a separate situation. I'm just saying, we haven't seen failed Titans quarterbacks go and do this.
Warren Moon was good with the Vikings.
Titans quarterback.
Yes. McNair was good with
Yeah, Warren Moon was a Hall
Was
of
it? Yeah. How did McNair?
He had one good year, one bad year.
He had a good year, yeah.
Well, and even that's a,
and he was
a separate
at the
situation.
End. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So the Levis part that really bothers me, and I talked about it a lot yesterday, I'm pretty close to out on him. You know, I know that they're going to continue to start him out there and throw him out there, but I'm pretty close to
but
being,
yeah,
to
being
out.
Being out, do you want him benched or you're just done with him?
I'm pretty close to being done with him.
But
I don't
but does
care,
that mean
no,
you want
no,
him benched?
I don't want him benched. I mean, yeah. Mason Rudolph is not a viable option for them moving forward.
I'm surprised. I put out Rudolph's stats, which turned out to be his game-ending stats, and said, is this what you want at quarterback? And a remarkable number of people on Twitter, it was like a Twitter, sensible Twitter day, said, no.
Right.
Go yeah. with Levis. So they did not get hyped out of by game management winning performance by Rudolph.
I don't understand anyone, and again, like Charles and I are going to argue tomorrow, anybody who right now is like, go with Rudolph, it blows my mind.
Well, but the mistakes and the repeated mistakes, like it makes you wonder, like when he threw that interception the other night, I told him yesterday, I legitimately came out of my chair. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, how do you do that?
He didn't see a giant dropping defensive.
I don't know how he saw Hopkins there, but
the guy was shielding Hopkins. Hopkins was the guy you could see. That's a great point.
Unbelievable. But like he keeps making the same mistakes. He's not taking care of the football. He's not taking care of himself. And two drives the other night, you turn the ball over and you hurt yourself. And that's what we've talked about all year long with him. And it makes me wonder, like, is that even fixable? Forget coachable, because I think he wants to fix it. Like, I don't think he's sitting in there looking at Brian Callen saying, yeah, screw you, dude. I got this under control. But some guys, once you know, when the bullet's alive and the game goes down, you just can't translate what you see on film, what you see in practice, to game settings. And I'm starting to really get that vibe for him that he just cannot do it.
I think it's all fair, but again, that's where – and I don't want to overstate what he did last year. He certainly didn't have the ridiculous plays last year. I don't know. I thought we saw some of that last year, like some pretty good field vision, awareness, spraying the ball at times. It wasn't perfect. But, again, he also was terribly protected. So I feel like – I think you're right. That's what we're seeing in the field this year. But I don't necessarily agree that, like – I mean, that's what he is or that's all he's – demonstrated this year. There's not very little good, but is it because of the you know, the psychological effect of what he's the opportunity? I don't know,
but again, that's not getting better. Like the pressure is not going away. When you have bad right. games, it just adds to the pressure. Yeah. Like the more there's more pressure coming for
the
him.
Here's one thing I think we should consider that works on his side, and I'm saying it more as devil's advocate than defender of him. But I think the way it's worked is we all expected he would pick up where he left off and go from there
right.
with this new coaching. And it turns out the repackaging in this system took him back to square one somehow.
And if that's what it is.
I don't really
is that what it is?
I think that's part of it. And I don't really understand how it's worked that way. It's something I want to delve into a little bit. But I think I've said this before, and I'm not phrasing it quite correctly. He's not a gunslinger necessarily, but the mentality that he had in the old offense has been pulled back, and they want him to master the mundane, and I think it boxes him in some ways that's uncomfortable for him and goes against his wiring, certainly, yeah. to use his own thing, and that is another time-taking endeavor.
There is one more part of the Levis discussion that we've not talked a lot about that I do wonder about as we move forward here. We'll get into that coming up next. Take more of your thoughts with PK here for the rest of the program. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Paul Kuharski with us, talking all things Tennessee Titans, discussing Will Levis and the quarterback position. There is one thing I wonder about moving forward here, and it has less to do with who's starting this year and now. Like, Callahan's made that pretty clear. You know, he was as clear as can be yesterday about Levis being the starter as they move forward here. But I do wonder, like, you know, obviously there are a lot of changes this offseason. Amy Adams Strunk talked about building around Levis. They've constructed the roster around him. They're trying to give him every opportunity to succeed. And Carthon drafted him. So there's a lot that's tied into him. Callahan's not. Like, Callahan's not tied into him. Now, as much as he said all the right stuff, and I think legitimately, I mean, I think he was sincere in his belief in Will Levis before the season and all those things, I do wonder if there gets to a point this year where Callahan just looks at Amy Adams Strunk and looks at Carthon and says, guys, he's not it. Like, it's just, regardless of your investment level and the draft pick and all these other things, he's not it. And we got to go find a different quarterback this offseason, and if that expedites things on the Will Levis front, because he was not here when they drafted
him. Well, I don't think he says it during the season. I think it's a postseason, after the season assessment by him, and he could say that, but I don't know. My gut feeling,
I guess my
now
question
is
how much is his evaluation at the end of it going to factor in?
Oh,
this?
I think immensely. It brought him in to be an offensive coach who was going to shape an offense. And if he says, I don't think I could do it with this guy, I think that's all that needs to be said in terms of them going a different direction. But I don't know that that means they're drafting their next quarterback next year if they don't feel like there's a real guy to do it with. I think it could be a patchwork kind of situation, and I think Levis could still be involved.
You know, we have no idea yet with Brian Callahan. I mean, I think, like, from afar, from outside looking in, I'm impressed. But, you know, but ultimately it's about the product on the field. The reality of his path to here is I think he got a lesson, a valuable lesson in Denver from Peyton Manning, right? Like, that's – great. That gets no credit for that, obviously, and no one's trying to give him credit for that. But he got a great list of that. Then he goes to Matthew Stafford, who again already is an established great quarterback in Detroit, right? Yep. Now again, then you're dealing with different types of personalities, very different types of players, and then you probably give him more credit on Burrow because they got him as a rookie. But
he's going to be great.
He's probably going to be great anyway. So again, not to take credit away from him, but the reality is, as a coach, you're around this league long enough, and you're going to have some not very great quarterbacks,
sure,
too.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so, I mean, I feel like it's still an evaluation of him, play calling, quarterback development, all that stuff. But if this guy doesn't work out, you know, sometimes it's just this guy's bad. And that's what it looks like to all of us right now, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Like,
it's hard for me to put too much on Callahan.
He's got a free pass on this guy. And I think we talked about this yesterday, but it's worth hitting again. I mean, that win didn't feel that good to a lot of fans. You know, I got 22 guys I talk to on a regular basis, and not real excited about it because it feels like they want a win that feels like what Callahan was supposed to deliver.
Yeah,
which is, you know, some explosive plays and, you know, 41-yard run. That's fine and everything, but they're not seeing the offense. It's still the offensive line issues. You know, a lot of fans, I think, are saying, well, if you're going to be run-based, I see that guy dressed in purple, you know, trying to calculate things. So if you're going to revamp, I want to see the revamped offense. And I don't know that Callahan's saying, like, be patient, you're going to see it. He's saying master the mundane. And it feels very familiar.
It does feel very familiar. And, I mean, I think a lot of it clearly has to do with the limitations of the quarterback. I mean, he got up here and said it yesterday. They're like, you know, what do you do well right now? Well, I feel like we're pretty good running the ball.
Good question and good answer.
It was. And, you know, one thing he talked about, the drop back passing game is not very good. Like, it's got to get better. And that's a combination of the line and him. I'm just saying.
So we're going to put Treylon Burks out there because he blocks well. Right. Oh, my God. We've heard that for 25 years. I don't want to see Treylon Burks. I want to see DeAndre Hopkins. I'm talking as me, but I'm also talking as the fan base. Put the receiver out there who can catch the ball, not the receiver who's the run blocker. We've heard that for the entire history of the league. Okay, let's start the press conference with how did the receivers block?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We've all been around for
blocking
a lot of that.
Blocking and tackling will always be key base, in football. Yeah, I don't care what you do. It'll always be
I hope you're
central.
Being sarcastic.
No, I'm not.
AWI is blocking his butt off.
Blocking and tackling is definitely important, but for one of your three receivers in a three-receiver set in a what's supposed to be an explosive offense, I'd like the guy to be able to catch the ball.
I'd like guys to be football players.
What, we think DeAndre Hopkins isn't a football player?
He blocks.
A Hall of
He's
Fame guy?
He's had some great blocks.
Okay, so I'd like to see him play as much as Burks is playing, and I'd like to see Burks play far less than Hopkins
I
is
understand
playing.
That. I mean, the point that—
Burks is a big issue for
but
this
his
football team.
His answer, I mean, that's what they did. They were running the ball. I mean, it was a I game know. Where, I mean, it was, again, it was just like the Vols against Oklahoma. It's like, meh.
I
understand. You're going
to be
in— But it's
symbolic
in
terms of where this team is and what it can and cannot do. And DeAndre Hopkins is probably, conceivably, you can make an argument, the best football player on the team. The most skilled football player on the team. He played 21 snaps.
You can make that argument for sure. By the way, I think he looks pretty good. Well,
yeah, let's get him on the Chiefs and watch him win.
Might. Might have to do that at some point. No, I just, I look, you know, Carthon is invested in this guy. Obviously, Amy Adams Strug wants them to be successful. Like, how willing are they going to be to pull the plug? And is Callahan going to ultimately be the one that decides? Like, that's what I'm wondering looking at this. Like, is this at the end of the day going to be, as much as they preach collaboration, is this going to be a Brian Callahan decision on Will Levis
at
the end of it?
Well, if they're a well-run organization where Amy Adams Strug lets, you know, Rand, but I guess Brinker, whatever, do their jobs.
Rinker.
I like that. Bran.
I like that too.
I love Raisin Bran. Rinker Bran? Okay.
And we'll spend time on
if they get
time.
Yes. I like some good bran, some good fiber in the diet. Let people do their jobs, then yes, it absolutely should be his decision.
That is collaboration.
This is his job.
That is collaboration, to listen to the quarterback guru, the offensive guru.
Yeah, and it's like, it's your call. If it gets into we need one more week, Brian.
I agree with that. Now, it also does not reflect well on the general manager who picked him, right?
Yes, except I think it's fair to say that also was a quote-unquote collaborative time, a begrudging collaborative time where the power structure was unclear and a GM and coach who were at odds, a powerful personality coach and a, at the time, meek general manager with Ryan Cowden mixed in there,
I was just
who was
gonna
on
say,
Vrabel's side.
I was just going to say, if he fails, just blame it all on Cowden, man.
Yeah,
just,
that's
just blame it on Ryan Cowden.
So, great, I mean, all of them were in the mix. Now, ultimately, they all have a hand in it because he wound up here. So, Rand Carthon, if he ultimately says, that's not on me, I don't think he'd say that, and he doesn't speak.
Not
so
publicly.
We're not going to hear it.
Wouldn't say it publicly.
Well, and if he sneaks it out through somebody, it'll be national. We'll hear about it. But he can't wash his hands of it because the guy's here.
Yeah.
Right? So ultimately, all of them get blamed for it.
I think there's a mulligan across the board.
I don't.
I think that there will be from Amy.
Oh,
I think that there's a mulligan
until she changes her mind and decides to blame someone.
Well, that's true. I would have happened. I probably shouldn't assume.
Yeah, you've got I mean, you're at the head of the line on that, so you know, like, she'll give a mulligan until somebody whispers in her ear that the Levis thing really screwed us up. We ought to cast blame there, and then she'll say, "Yes, let's fire someone."
Yeah, but I feel like they'll get, like, even though, yes, Rand was a GM, like you said, it was very muddled. That draft was a mess, and so they'll get another one, right? Rand will get another
one. The draft was a mess,
one
thing was clear. We should celebrate all those guys that night on the biggest night of their life and not ask any difficult questions.
Yes, make sure we get that in there.
A great response from Vrabel that night. Good God, I was like, geez, are we arguing at the presser here?
I mean, that was an alpha beta moment. Side by side, we knew who
this
was
is
what
the biggest
kind of guy
night of their career. Oh, we got some big problems. 615-737.
He did have big problems.
1025.
Right.
One more segment with Paul Kuharski coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Rowe got some tickets to give away to see Bad Flower at the Ryman Auditorium on October 22nd. Be caller number 3-615-737-1025. Call the 3. We'll win a pair of tickets to see Bad Flower at the Ryman Auditorium on October the 22nd.
You never go with caller 9. If I was in here full time, it'd be caller 9 way more often.
We could do 9.
Why?
It's my favorite number, and it messes with Nick.
Why is it your favorite number?
Good combo.
9's my favorite number since youth. Greg Nettles wore 9. Giorgio Canalia.
Greg Nettles.
Giorgio Canalia wore 9. My two favorite players of my
noted Titans, youth. Bobo. Paul Kuharski loves him. Some Steve McNair.
Yep. Number 9. That's right. That's right.
Yep.
Will from Music Row.
I formed my favorite number long before Steve McNair was a factor in my life.
Will on Music Row on the text line.
William.
What is the job description or quota for a successful quarterback? Outside of Mahomes, I don't believe there's been a first contract quarterback to win the Super Bowl. Instead of hoping for an outlier, why not go with a vet and spend money on a defense like we have right now? This is from Will on Music Row on the text
line. Well, there are different philosophies as to how you approach it.
And well, Russell Wilson was a first contract quarterback to win the Super Bowl.
Correct.
Most teams want to do what the Titans are attempting to do. Build through the draft, particularly at quarterback. And while so Russell Wilson's the outlier there, but just because it hasn't been done doesn't mean it's not a smart approach. I think every GM in the league would tell you their ideal path to a Super Bowl would be to have a first quarterback contract, a first
Tom Brady
contract
had
quarterback playing well enough to take you. I mean, Joe Burrow, I think, was on his first contract when they went to the Super Bowl.
Joe Burrow went there in his first
deal. So we've got them going. We've got them not winning. I think you'd take that, Texter, right? Sure. Getting to the game and having a chance to win it with then the salary cap freedom to really spend at a lot of other important positions.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, and it's got, you know, again, you're going back on Brady and Roethlisberger, but those are two guys.
The contract structure from rookie deals now is different from them, too. Yes. Like, you know, yes. Brady was a 6-round pick, but also, Roethlisberger, 1st-round pick.
Also, look at all the best quarterbacks in the league right now. They're not guys we're talking about a second scenario where you get a guy who's a veteran who's available. But a veteran who's available is available for a reason. The best quarterbacks in the league are drafted by, they're Mahomes and Burrow and Allen. Guys who are Lamar Jackson, guys who were drafted by their team. Right. That's what you want.
Yeah.
Joe in Nashville.
But I'm not against the veteran signing.
No, for this team.
No, absolutely not. Joe in Nashville would like to hear you guys talk about offense and how it's down. Quarterback's not great right now, mostly league-wide in today's NFL. What do you make of that?
Yeah, it's bad. And I was on with Brendan Gaul yesterday on a football show. He had a lot of stats, too, or a lot of thoughts that I think are very smart. Like all this 7-on-7 play, you know, that has gone into these guys coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was advantage offense for a long time. But it's gone on long enough now that these corners and linebackers who are involved in it have figured out how to match up to it, right, in the cyclical thing. And I think there's something to that. I think there's something to the idea, too. Head coaches, predominantly, right, 2/3 of the head coaches that get hired are young offensive minds. And so these young defensive minds who have gotten very good are in these defensive coordinator positions, and they're as good as the offensive head coaches now. So the chess match is even at the very least. And this too high stuff is preventing it. I think if you run successfully on first and second down, it's not going to take the two high guys and move them into the box all downs. You know, it might have a limited effect early. The Titans didn't run a stacked box against A-Chain one time in that game, and they shut him down no problem.
Yeah. Did you see Mel Kiper, by the way, saying they should ban
That's
two high?
So
like, what?
Yes, I did see that.
He said that after two games.
That's rant worthy.
I mean, talk about overreaction.
Banning, I mean, the whole thing with the shift to be like banning.
You know, there are ways
anyone
to beat two high safeties, what? Too. You know, you can scheme against that. You can throw
exactly
the ball against it.
Right. And yeah, you can throw the ball against it. Yeah, that's the middle of the field's open. And also you can
run.
You can run. I mean, so I think it's cyclical. I think it'll get better, though. I also think, I mean, offensive line play is part of this, too.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
There was no
generally
doubt.
Terrible. If you went
that
around the league and surveyed guys in our positions, I think 2/3 of the league would say offensive line is a major concern on their
yeah
team.
So, yep. But I also think that, like, it'll get better this year. Maybe not all the way back, but it'll get better. But it's cyclical, and it's frankly, I didn't enjoy 9-3 at halftime in this game. I don't like watching games like that. I like offensive games, but I'm okay with defense coming back, a little bit of back and forth on this. It's a chess match. It's fun.
But it's not a great product right now. I mean, certainly not here, but league-wide. I mean, I watch games Sunday in Florida. Those weren't good games on Sunday.
So do you
afternoon.
Define good games by they have to be high-scoring?
No, but they need to be, well, I want more good execution. Yeah. A bad quarterback play is not fun.
Sure.
And it's down like 50 yards a game. People are throwing for around 200. And that's down from like 250 over the last 4 years, I think.
Yeah, I mean, 3 years ago.
That's
it was
a
like
lot of yards. You're talking everybody, you're talking 10 first downs a game. That's a bucket
that's a lot.
Load
that's
of
a lot.
Offense.
Yeah, it's a load of offense. And how much of that is bad quarterback play? It's some. And how much of it is the defenses coming back? Like some of the stuff Brian Flores is doing in Minnesota right now is unbelievable. Like just post-snapped what they're doing there. It's crazy.
So, there's the kind of guy I'm talking about, right? He was a head coach. He's not a head coach. He's qualified to be a head coach. He's every bit as good as the offensive guys who are head coaches now, right? So that's a head coach defense who's a premier talent.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Will on Music Row, who won our $50 gift card to a Moments Peace Salon at Day Spa today. PK, thanks as always for being with us.
Great to be here. Don't block the box. Be sure to lock your locks. Enjoy the bye week.
That's going to do it for us today here on the program. Chasing Big Joe is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to FinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.